board member of the New York City Municipal Water Finance Authority Board. I'm also the chair of the Joint Audit Committee of the Water Finance Authority and the Water Board, and this is a meeting of the Joint Audit Committee. I'd like to begin by asking Al Moncur to call the roll.
Mr. Von Hoen.
Here.
Mr. Martins.
Robert L. Byrne for Commissioner Martins.
Mr. Shaw.
Mrs. Kapocha.
Here.
Mr. Tisdale.
Here.
Mr. Carnes. We have a...
Great, thank you. Got four items on the agenda today. The first item is the ask for a resolution to approve the minutes of our last meeting, which was on January 18th of 2013. The draft of those minutes is in everyone's package. If anyone has any questions about them, ask now. If not, I'd entertain a motion to approve those minutes.
Motion.
And a second?
Second.
Any discussion? Hearing none, motion's approved. The next item on the agenda is the presentation of the audit plan, including a discussion of new accounting and auditing standards. And at this juncture, I guess I'd like to turn the meeting over to Michelle Levine.
Good morning. Thank you. This year is actually going to be a little bit of an interesting year for the Water Authority. There are a couple of things that are going to affect our financial statements that we just want to mention to you. And then Glenn will discuss how they'll affect his audit work. The Water Authority system had some damage from Hurricane Sandy, of which you are aware. And from an accounting perspective, that means we need to recognize the impairment of assets. So we are going to be doing that. We're going to follow the city's lead in the methodology for estimating those losses. We have not yet at this time any estimate of what that will be, but we do expect it will be a material number in this, in the financial statements. Also, there was a new GASB standard, GASB 65 and GASB 63, that are going to affect the financial statements. 63 really just renames some financial statements, but 65 has some significant impact, and there will be a restatement of our opening net position, which used to be called net assets. The opening net position is going to be reduced by approximately $459 million, and that is because Statement 65 says that we need to expense bond issuance costs in the period that they're incurred rather than over the life of the related debt. Also requires us to report those bond issuance costs as a component of interest expense rather than separately. And finally, to eliminate the impact of the previous unamortized bond issuance costs that are included in our deferred bond refunding costs. So we have made those rough calculations. They are obviously subject to change as we review them and as Deloitte & Touche reviews them, but we just wanted to let you know that those were going to be major impacts that you will see. Restatement of fiscal 12 with an opening balance adjustment and a slightly different accounting for 13.
Does that balance adjustment track all of the expended debt service?
It's the accumulated, yes. Right. It's the accumulated impact.
It's a retrospective adjustment, which is required for the statement.
Okay. So at this time, unless there are any more questions, I'd like to introduce Glenn Friedrich, who is the partner from Deloitte & Touche on our audit. Unfortunately, we are missing our manager, who apparently left the firm, but her name, you may remember Jen Katz, who's here in previous years, but I understand we'll be getting a replacement.
Good morning. And as Michelle said, Jennifer Katz did leave the firm. Unfortunately, we were sad to see her go, and I'm happy to say we do have a new replacement. Who will be presented to Michelle shortly? Her name is Sheila Misra. I always mispronounce it, Sheila Misra. So she will be acting as the new manager on the engagement to replace Jen this coming fiscal year. What you have before you is our audit service plan for the upcoming June 30th, 2013 audit. And it is consistent with the prior years because as the firm changes every so often our audit approach, we did a revamp of our audit approach 2 years ago whereby we really took a fresh stance at looking at the controls, the risk of misstatements, and retweaked, if you would, our approach. So the approach going forward has been consistent year over year. So a lot of the information that is presented in this package is consistent with what you've seen in the past. But again, this will This will address the audit as it relates to the Municipal Water Finance Authority and the New York City Water Board collectively. Again, our primary responsibility as your independent auditors is to perform the audit of the system's financial statements to obtain reasonable assurance about whether the financial statements are free of material misstatement. Our audits will be conducted in accordance with generally accepted auditing standards, as well as government auditing standards issued by the Comptroller General of the United States. As Michelle alluded to earlier, there are some accounting changes that are going to take place and that we would deem audit focus this year, and one of those clearly is GASB 65, whereby the presentation of the financial statements, I like to call it a little bit of geography, things are going to move around and things are also going to be removed. The restatement, while it is deemed a restatement, is predicated by the statement. It's retrospectively, it has to occur, and we have looked at what management has prepared, as well as kind of the preliminary footnote disclosure, and at first blush, we are comfortable with how they're being presented. But clearly, I would caveat it by saying that until we perform our audit and go through our procedures, we don't know until everything's done, and we will work closely with management as we always do. Currently, we're in what I would consider our, we have four phases, our initial slash development phase of the audit. And again, this is whereby we set out confirmations, we meet with management, and we kind of take a review of what we did last year and look at what the issues were and challenge ourselves going forward as it relates to the upcoming audit. Clearly, some of the more significant issues, not significant risk, but significant issues that we will focus on as we have in the past will be revenues, accounts receivables, the allowance for doubtful accounts, as well as the CIS system. Also, as Michelle talked about earlier, GASB 42, which deals with asset impairment, we will look at very closely in conjunction with your capital assets, which we've done last year. And actually, we made, or management along with Comptroller's Office, made huge strides last year to address some of those concerns and issues, and we're hoping to build upon that momentum this year. But there will be a lot of discussion with management concerning the impairment of those capital assets, and that will be reflected in your financial statement as a separate line item. And as Michelle alluded to, that number could be significant depending on what the actual impairment is to those particular assets. In addition, as always, we will involve our specialists. Our specialists and are actuarially based. They're also computer specialists, and we do use the computer specialists to rely on the accounting systems that management uses to generate the financial statements, as well as your CIS system. And we do look at all the change controls and so forth in order to gain reliance. That's an important part. Also, we use what we call our fraud specialists. Fraud clearly is an overarching premise that's baked into the audit, whereby we will have conversations with management. We will also test journal entries. We actually try to get every journal entry that was posted during the year, and we roll the trial balance from the beginning of the year through the end of the year, and we subject those journal entries to what we call algorithms. And we also have 14 characteristics that we go through and identify those characteristics that might be applicable to the entity and look for fraudulent type entries, which we consider a management override of control. And the standards now say that you have to look and test for that. So clearly there will be a specific focus, as there was last year, on items that relate to fraud. We also talk with management regarding any changes in internal controls, because clearly that's important. That's the foundation of our audit. So we look at those changes, and we will bake that into our control testing as well as our substantive testing. Our timing for this year's audit is pretty much consistent with last year, and albeit that I lost my senior manager, the staff will be returning, so I have continuity there, so I am actually a happy partner. The timing is going to be June, July for interim, and then we will perform the substantive procedures in September and October. We will issue the financial statements to you, the Joint Audit Committee and Management, in October, and also to comply with the city requirements for the inclusion in their CAFR. As it relates to the new standards, Michelle kind of talked about the two biggest ones, GASB 63 and 65. 65 clearly is the biggest one that will impact you folks this year. Otherwise, I mean, this is kind of, you know, a high-level overview. I understand we are pressed for time, but nonetheless, I would appreciate any comments or concerns that you may have or any questions that you have for me regarding the upcoming audit so that I can address them going forward when we do plan the audit with management and our staff. So at this time, I turn the table over to the Joint Audit Committee members for any questions or concerns that you may have regarding the upcoming audit.
Do you have confirmation from staff that you'll have a value for the impairment of the system as a result of this form by in a timely way that you
Management will be working closely with the city, the comptroller's office. They have the information. Clearly, it's a work in process. So when the time comes, we are, you know, optimistic that we will have everything. But nonetheless, the impairment will continue. I mean, impairment, as far as I'm concerned, is one of those things where you take your best effort going forward, and however, these will evolve over time. Clearly, there's items that could be in the wall where wiring was damaged. Until you open up the wall, the lights don't work, you won't know. But we are pretty confident, I believe, as is management, I don't want to speak on their behalf, but we will have the information readily available to audit and, you know, present in the financial statements appropriately.
Just to let you know, we have already started speaking with the folks at the Department of Environmental Protection who are responsible for the fixed asset records. We are working off of lists of damages that have been prepared for FEMA claims and other sources, and having to identify those items and some history about their costs and age in order to do the appropriate calculations of impairments. We are starting to do that, and it is a time-consuming process, but we know that we need to get it done, obviously, before the audit.
And you know, those improvements were self-insured, or is FEMA the only source for cover?
There is no insurance on the physical assets of the system, which is the same policy as for other city-owned assets. So we are hoping for a significant FEMA contribution.
In the $459 million expense charge, whatever you want to call it, this is going to have any material impact on your bond ratings, or is there anything that will come about as a result of that?
I'll let Mr. Policelli answer the question.
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, I think this is a change that's, you know,
everybody
has
standards.
Yeah. I imagine the bond rating
our ability to pay our bonds and the ability of the water board to bring in revenue to service the debt and other system expenses.
Any questions? Thank you. Any other questions? Your second question was my other question, so I will ask it now. I'm assuming that obviously there's been, this is a national change. It's not directed here, so it's. I assume its rollout has been anticipated by the markets. And all right, any other questions? If there are none, thanks very much for the presentation. Next item on the agenda is review of the agency and the Water Board's financial integrity compliance statements, and those are prepared. Pursuant to Section 6.1, Subsection 5 of Directive 22 of the Office of the Comptroller of the City's requirements, and they are essentially involve completing a long checklist that's designed to assess whether there are sufficient internal controls in place to prevent the detection that pertain to the prevention and the detection of errors and irregularities that would be material to the Water Board and the authority. This is not an item that requires a resolution, but you have in your packages this year's results of that checklist, and I believe that it's fair to say that it's substantially the same as last year's results. And because of the organizational nature of both the authority and the Water Board, I believe that somewhere in the land of 75% to 85% of the responses are simply not applicable. But I believe you'll also see in the packages that in those rare instances where there was a partially applicable or a no response, that there is an explanation for both the Board and the authority of all those no responses. So. I guess I would ask if anyone has any questions about the checklist this year. Hearing none, I guess I would say we have accepted the results of this integrity checklist for this year, and I don't believe there's a resolution that's required. So I'll move on to the fourth agenda item, and that is a resolution, the entertaining of a resolution regarding the annual self-evaluation and review of annual report of the Audit Committee.
And you'll see in your packet that there is a report prepared that shows what we did in calendar year 2012. We met three times, and it also discloses what we did at those meetings. And I guess we have a resolution to be entertained, the ultimate result of which would say that based on the accomplishments in 2012, that we believe the committee has performed its duties in a satisfactory manner. Draft of that resolution is in the package, and I would ask for a motion.
Motion.
And second? Any discussion? Hearing none, the motion's unanimously passed. The resolution's unanimously passed. I don't believe there are any further business. If not, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second? Any discussion? Opposition? Then we are adjourned.